StashMyComics.com interview with Jason Shiga. In this interview, we discuss interactive comics, Jason Shiga's process of building puzzle comics, quantum mechanics, Jason Shiga's influences, and stay tuned for the end for a Jason Shiga giveaway at StashMyComics.com. Let's listen to the interview. So maybe start by telling us a little bit about yourself, what you do, how you got into writing comic books.
Let's see, I guess I'll just start with my name. My name is Jason Shiga, and I've been making comics for about 12 years now. I've been doing it professionally for about the last 2 years, but for the first 10 years that I was doing comics, I was just doing mini comics. If you don't know what those are basically folded and stapled comic books that you can make at the comic book store. And I basically take those around to conventions and sell them. And I've been experimenting a lot with interactive style comic books. And I guess about 2 years ago, I got a chance to work with a larger publisher, Abrams, on a comic called Meanwhile, which is what is out right now.
So can you describe a little bit Meanwhile and what you mean by interactive comic books?
Of course. So basically, if you remember those Choose Your Own Adventure books from the 80s, that's basically what I do, except it's in a comic form. So you'll be reading, you know, you'll be reading one of my books, and then there will be some way that you can interact with the story. Like, for example, in Meanwhile, the first choice that you get to make is whether you want the main character to order chocolate or vanilla ice cream. And each one of my interactive comics has a different mechanism. So the way it works in Meanwhile is if you choose vanilla, you basically follow a tube off the page and onto a tab on a different page. I like to, I guess because they're comics, I wanted a chance to be more visual than a Choose Your Own Adventure book, which usually has like instructions to turn to a certain page number. But because I'm working in the comics medium, I wanted to sort of take advantage of the visual element and actually have the reader physically follow a tube off a page and physically put his finger on another page via these tabs that are running along the side of the book.
Well, for Meanwhile specifically, when this goes up on the website, I'll be posting a video to demonstrate that the tubing mechanism and tab mechanism that you described, so that folks who have not read it yet or aren't sure of exactly how it works, they'll have a visual demonstration of how it works a little bit there.
Oh, yes, that would be great.
Now, you write things in an innovative manner in terms of format, And you've gone into that with interviews, and there's some information online about that. If people haven't listened to it yet, you did a really in-depth discussion of format and how you innovate paper comics with Indie Spinner Rack.
That's right.
Yeah. So if folks have at home listening haven't listened to that yet, I do urge them to go check that out. One thing I noticed that you haven't discussed, or at least nothing that I've heard that I'd like to ask you. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a long question because I've been thinking about this maybe a little bit too much. So stay with me because I'm going somewhere with this.
Okay.
In your story, the character, as you described, Jimmy, he encounters this Professor K, who has three different inventions that you can play with and experiment with. And one of them is the Kilotron 2000, I think it's called. And it does a variety of things. First, it's a machine of ultimate doom that kills everything in the universe. And second, it also controls entropy. And I thought that was really interesting that you were taking an interpretation of quantum mechanics in the many worlds theory. When something is observed and it then becomes a reality, and the universe branches off into that reality, so that when we are faced with any number of choices of or possibilities, the universe infinitely branches off into separate realities. Am I describing that properly?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, but what's interesting is that you explore this subject in the story of Meanwhile in a very casual, down-to-earth, and accessible manner that some 10-year-old kid could easily understand. But you use the format of the Choose Your Own Adventure to demonstrate how story paths in the book, it's sort of like an analogy of the many worlds theory or quantum mechanics. So my question is, did you first come up with a different format of telling comic books, then develop that, then use a story that would fit that? Or did you first have a story that you wanted to tell and use the format of the Choose Your Own Adventure to better tell that story? Sort of a chicken or the egg thing.
Right. Let's see. Well, in gosh, I'd have to say in almost all of my interactive type comics, the form comes first. So how the way that it physically works, like with Meanwhile, it's tubing, or with, The Last Supper, it's unfolding. I usually come up with that stuff first. Sometimes I'll literally have the whole book in my hands, except they're all blank pages. And then after that point, I kind of fill in the story. So I've actually noticed, I don't know if you're a big fan of Choose Your Own Adventure books, but I've noticed, oftentimes the first book in a series is usually about time travel. So, for example, the first Choose Your Own Adventure book was The Cave of Time, or the first Twista plot by R.L. Stine was a time adventure or time travel adventure story. And then there's that whole series, Time Machine. I don't know if you remember any of those, but I think it's one of those things where the form itself of the book just very naturally lends itself to time travel type stories and like the analogy to the multiple worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics.
What I'd like to comment on, it's not so much a question. I find you've found a really great balance between innovating a format and telling an interesting and fun story. Like you don't ignore basic principles of storytelling, like plot, because this book has plot twists. It has huge reveals as you discover it, has character development. So, less a question than some praise. I really found that you'd found like almost a perfect balance of those two things, to the point where even a kid could understand these complex ideas within this book and enjoy discovering them.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I like to think that Meanwhile's actually my most complete work as a story. I don't know if you've read any of my other interactive comics, but I'd say the vast majority do not really qualify as like traditionally satisfying narratives. I'd say Meanwhile is actually a little unusual in that sense. For example, I had one called Knock Knock, that sort of tried to deal with the problem of exponential growth in interactive comics. And the idea was, at the end of every page, you get to make one of about 10 different decisions. And then at the end of the next page, you get to make about 10 more decisions. And you're probably thinking, well, after three choices, this book is going to be like 1,000 pages long. And in fact, the book is 500 pages long. And that's because at the end of the third choice, a crazed gunman bursts through the door and shoots you in the neck.
I'd like to ask you a question from, because I've spent about, what, 12 hours with this book so far. The book is 74 pages.
Yes.
Very well put together, hardcover, plastified, almost glossy photographic paper so that it can handle the multiple flippings that you're going to do from page to page. And with 12 hours having put into it, I feel I've unlocked about what, a fifth of maybe what's going on in this book, probably less. To somebody who's possibly skeptical that this is just a 74-page book and for $16, 20 Canadian, how would you maybe convince them that they'll be spending a lot of time and having a lot of fun with this book?
I don't know if this will exactly win them over. It might drive them away if I tell them that they could potentially be spending 2 years to try to get to the end of it. But I actually did have one friend. He told me he spent 2 years trying to get to the end of the book. And he just kept going around in circles, trying to get to that happy ending.
Now, when you say the end of the book, Jason, the cover blurb claims that there are 3,856 story possibilities.
Yes.
So there is one ultimate story path that you can find.
Yes, there's one, I would say, happy ending.
Okay.
But all the other endings are sad and tragic and miserable and lead to doom and destruction.
Okay. I reached Ultimo, or Ultima.
Yes.
I have no clue how I got there, and I can't get there again. But it's sort of a happy ending, but it's almost like a purgatory. So, did I accidentally stumble onto the happy ending, or do I have to keep digging here?
Okay, so if anyone's listening now and they don't want the book spoiled, I'd say fast forward the interview by about 5 minutes, because I will reveal some stuff. But I will tell you now. But
I can cut this out if you prefer.
Oh yeah, do that.
Spoiler.
So good. That is so good.
Because the ending where the ending where you actually discover what's going on in
the world. Oh, you little brat. I suspected that. I suspected that.
Yeah, that's not really happy at all. In fact, it's so existentially heartbreaking that I actually present the readers with the choice to kill themselves.
That's brilliant. It's very much a Gordian knot type of puzzle.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. About puzzles.
Yes.
You obviously have some sort of fascination with puzzles, because the format of this book, meanwhile, is built like a puzzle, and the story itself is a puzzle that needs to be untangled. Now, where does this come from, and how do you develop it in meanwhile for people who haven't read it yet?
I've always loved puzzles. From when I was a kid, I loved puzzles. I loved brain teasers. I've just always loved that stuff. I don't know why, but that stuff has just always appealed to me.
Can you tell us a little bit more about some of the puzzles that the readers will have to untangle in meanwhile, such as like the codes and the different machines they have to use?
Yes. Okay, so there's there's sort of a mystery in meanwhile that's sort of revealed in bits and pieces. For example, if you go back to the ice cream parlor, you discover that the ice cream man actually has a Killatron in the back room of the ice cream parlor. Why does he have a Killatron? You can sort of solve the mystery, but the way you solve the mystery is by using the inventions in the professor's lab. And you have to sort of plan and think of a way to combine different inventions to come up with the solution. Although I think a lot of people just kind of skip around by trial and error until they get it.
I think I've personally used a little bit of both methods in reading this book, just trial and error, and I will set the book aside for a few days or a week, and then come back to it with a fresh perspective, and having molded over in my head, I will find new things in the book. And I've actually laughed out loud from reading this book, some of the dialogue or just some of the reveals. One major reveal, spoiler, is that...
Spoiler!
That's right.
And I went to see my wife, and after I found this out, and I was holding my head, she thought I was in some sort of pain because I was so stunned by how this happened. So it's the book is so much fun for anybody. I can see parents with kids just going through this, just for finding different story possibilities, just for the heck of it. Another question I wanted to ask you is about your cartooning style. Who are your influences in terms of cartooning, and how did you develop this cartooning style?
I'm actually a little unusual. I have a lot of cartoonist friends, and I'd say most of my cartoonist friends got into comics from a pretty early age, and got into superhero comics specifically from an early age.
Right.
I actually didn't get into comics until I was in college. I'll tell you an interesting story about that. I was actually I was actually taking a student-run course in college, and I remember at the time thinking, oh, you know, I just need, you know, four more, like, sort of like an easy 4 units to meet my minimum unit requirement. And I thought the comics class would be kind of like an easy 4 units. And I remember I started taking the class, and it was actually a really interesting class because Adrian Tomine was in that class. I don't know if you've read any of his comics.
I know of him, yeah.
But yeah, he was a student like me, and I was thinking, well, if this nerd can do it, why not me? And I remember for the final project, we were assigned to make our very own comic. And I remember, people were just, they were doing like stick figure comics or, you know, like little mini comics or sometimes like, like just a sheet of paper with, a bunch of comic strips on it. And then Adrian Tomine basically turned in Optic Nerve number 2 for his final project. But I remember I did a comic called Philip's Head. That was my very first comic. And I took it down to Comic Relief, which was the local comic book store there in Berkeley. And I remember they let me put it on their shelves, and I was hooked ever since then. I've been doing comics ever since. But because I didn't get into comics until later in life, I think I bypassed a lot of maybe you could call it like the superhero influence.
Mm-hmm.
So I did like Harvey comics when I was a kid, but I'd always been more attracted to big headed characters.
Right.
So like Harvey comics, the Simpsons. I always liked the Simpsons. Yeah. So I'd actually say the Simpsons are probably my biggest influence.
I can see that. I can see that now that you mention it. Where can we buy your books?
Let's see. You can buy it. You can buy it off Amazon. Although I would, if you can afford it, I would recommend supporting your local bookstore. Mm-hmm.
That's why I direct ordered it from my comic book store.
Oh, that's great. It's it's really hitting home. Like the disappearance of these comic book stores. The one I just mentioned, Comic Relief, just literally in February closed their doors. And it was like one of the saddest days of my life. I was like bummed out for like a week.
I'm sorry to hear that. I read about that online all the time, how retailers are having a hard time. And this reality, I haven't observed it because the bookstore that I go to, their Joe Shuster nominated bookstore, which is Joe Shuster Awards, is the Canadian equivalent of Eisner Awards, which I'm sure you know, and their business has increased the last few years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they moved to a bigger location, and there's just more people in the store all the time, and I don't know, maybe my city is just immune to this whole death of the comics retail business. I don't know exactly what the deal is, but it's the way it's working in my town.
Yeah, I'm hoping like maybe one of the silver linings of Borders going out of business is maybe I'm hoping it'll just generate more revenue towards the independent bookstores.
Right, that's a possibility. But here's hoping.
Yeah, but who knows what the future holds? Maybe maybe we're all just be reading our books on Kindles or iPads or something stupid like that.
Actually, that brings another question for me. You being such an innovative talent, have you ever considered exploring the digital medium? Because I can see there being a lot of potential for interactive comics on there.
Actually, it is funny that you mentioned that, because I am thinking, or I'm in the works right now of getting Meanwhile transferred into an iPad app.
Oh.
I know I just called iPad stupid, literally 30 seconds ago, but I'm actually working on an iPad app with somebody.
Nice. I can see that working, just in terms of format. Well, here's hoping that works out.
We'll see what happens.
One last thing. This is just my own personal question. On the back of the book, Scott McCloud appraises Meanwhile. This is Scott McCloud. He's the Marshall McLuhan of comic books. How does that feel to have somebody like of that stature and authority praise your book?
It was great. It was amazing. Scott, Understanding Comics was actually the second comic that I'd ever read. The first two comics I ever read were Mouse and Understanding Comics.
Nice.
it was actually for that comics class.
Nice.
So I guess it's been all downhill from there. I'd say Scott McCloud is probably one of my biggest influences in comics, comics-wise. I'd say my biggest influence of all time is probably Edward Packard.
Okay.
He's the one who started the Choose Your Own Adventure series.
Okay.
So I was really excited to get the Edward Packard quote on the back.
The website does giveaways. The way the website works is it's a comics database.
Uh-huh.
It's free cataloging for cataloging your comic books.
Uh-huh.
All the data is user generated. As users upload images or comic books or information about comic books, they gain points.
Okay.
And with these points, they can buy tickets for raffles,
okay,
where we give away books. Would you like to do a giveaway?
Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
Great. So,
maybe we could give away a copy of Meanwhile.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be really, really good. That would be very generous.
All right.
Cool. So look for that on the main page, a giveaway of Meanwhile. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you to Jason Shiga for talking with us. Go to stashmycomics.com. Register if you haven't already. You'll be able to use the website for free to catalog your comic books, and also you can upload info to the database, which will gain you points that you can use to buy tickets in any giveaway, but especially in the Jason Shiga giveaway that you will find on the homepage. Until next time, may the force be with you, live long and prosper, Excelsior!